whenever we experience difficulty in our lives, the question that always arises is, why would God allow this to happen? This is because inherent within each of us is this desire to know our purpose. What is the purpose of our existence in life? And so this carries over into all that happens in our lives. Why did my mom die? Why did I lose my job? Why did God allow this or that to take place in my life? We want to know because purpose gives us clarity. I think some of us even now are saying, if I just knew what the purpose of all of this was, if there was some sense to all of this, then I could find some clarity and in turn maybe even find some peace in the midst of all that is going on in the world. So the question is there any purpose to all of this? Or are we just living through a natural cycle of life that comes and goes, hoping that it all works out, and if we're lucky enough, then we're going to survive, and everything will get back to normal, and the economy will open up, and my life will be back to normal because I can get my job back or whatever. Are we just hoping and wishing that things are going to turn around, or is there purpose to this? Well, if we believe what the Bible teaches us about God, that he is sovereign over all things, and that even evil is under his control and his providential rule, then we have to reject any idea that the difficulties of our life, those circumstances that we find ourselves in that are very hard, are just a horrible accident and that they really have no purpose. If God is in control of all things, then he has to be also in control of wickedness and evil. And if God is a good God, then he's using even wickedness and evil for our good purposes. And this is exactly what we find in the book of Habakkuk. Please turn with me in your Bibles, or if you want to click on the link that's been provided to you there on the webpage, to the book of Habakkuk. Now, this is our fifth and final week in the book of Habakkuk. And what we have been looking at is this transformation that has been taking place in Habakkuk's life from what we see in chapters 1 and 2 to what we see in him in chapter 3. And this transformation has taken place because Habakkuk has had a new insight into who God is. God has revealed himself to him. He has shown Habakkuk some of the things that are going on that Habakkuk didn't know. And so when we get to chapter 3, we see Habakkuk's full faith in God, and he is trusting in him despite him not knowing what is going on. And so God has revealed to him his person, his providence, and his promises. And we've looked at each of these as a means to encourage even our own faith in God during our own difficult times. And so today, as we close out this series in Habakkuk, I want to look at the purposes of God, the purposes of God. When we talk about God's purposes, we are talking about what God desires to accomplish. And because he is sovereign, then his purpose is what he will accomplish without fail. So whatever it is that God desires to do, he will do because he is sovereign. His purpose is what God wills to happen and therefore brings about by his own power. And so you could say that if God wills it or God purposes it, then it is going to take place. Look with me at Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Now, we have read these verses many times, but we want to continue to go back and see what God's word has for us. Look at verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Did you notice there in verse 3 that Habakkuk asks the question, why? This is a question of purpose. God, what is the purpose of allowing this wickedness to continue in Judah? What is the purpose of allowing the law to be paralyzed and justice to be perverted? Habakkuk could not see and did not understand what God was up to. And so here he asks God for clarity. Why? Why are these things taking place? And in verse 5, God answers Habakkuk. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if you were told. God says, look at all that is going on around you and be astounded, because even in the circumstances that you are living in and going through, I am doing a work that you would not even believe. In other words, I have a purpose, and if you truly understood all that I was doing, all that I was intending to accomplish, you wouldn't even be able to believe it. And then God, of course, gives Habakkuk just a glimpse of what he was purposing to do. He tells Habakkuk that he is going to raise up the Babylonians, that great nation, though they are wicked, are going to come in, and they are going to defeat Assyria, and they're going to invade Judah. So God was not sitting on the sidelines, oblivious to the wickedness of what was going on in Judah. God was working to accomplish his will by raising up the Babylonians in order to carry out his justice. But when Habakkuk heard what God's will was, what his purpose was, he has the same question of God. Look over at verse 13 of chapter 1. Habakkuk says, "You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" Again, God, why is it your purpose? What is your purpose in using such a wicked nation like Babylon? Why them? Why can't you bring your justice in another way? Again, he does not understand what God is doing in his day. And so he's asking God for clarity. Why are you doing this? And again, God responds to Habakkuk's question. And so look with me at verse 12 of chapter 2. Verse 12 of chapter 2. God says, "Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, it is not from the Lord of hosts that people labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." God says Habakkuk, in using the Babylonians, one of the purposes of all of this that I am going to do is that I am going to show my glory and make sure that my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, Babylon, like other nations, worshipped its own power and might. It wanted its own glory. That's why it was conquering other nations and doing so without regard. But what God does is he comes in and he says, they, Babylon, will revel in their own glory. They're going to think that as they conquer one nation after another, that it is their power, that they are mighty, and that everything is going the way that they think. They're going to revel in their own glory. But I am the one who is raising them up, and I'm going to use them for my purposes. The only reason that Babylon is gaining power is because I am purposing for them to gain power so that I can use them for my purposes. And when they come and they take over Assyria and they invade Judah, when I am done using them for my purposes, then I am going to bring justice to Babylon, and I will prove that I am both fully sovereign and I am both fully just, and my glory will spread throughout the earth. When we talk about the purpose or the will of God, we are really diving into some deep waters. And like many of the things that we've talked about through this study in Habakkuk, we certainly cannot cover everything that is wrapped up in the will of God or in God's purposes. However, there are a couple of things that come out very clearly in Habakkuk that I want to show you this morning, and hopefully will be an encouragement to you. First, there are certain things that God does by necessity and other things that God does by his choice. When we speak of what God must do, we are talking about things that he is bound to do by his nature or his character. For example, because we know that God is righteous, he will always pursue righteousness. God cannot pursue or do anything that is unrighteous. His character demands that he always pursue righteousness. So we know one of his purposes as he works in our lives is to bring justice to all things. If God does not do this, then he's not righteous. And this is one of the things that Habakkuk was struggling with. He knew that God was righteous, and so he couldn't understand why God was allowing such injustice to occur in Judah. However, God is not bound in any way by how he will administer justice. And so he is free to accomplish his just purposes in any way he chooses. And so you see God bound by his character to do certain things. He must act in a righteous way, and he must pursue justice. However, there is great freedom and choice in how God accomplishes that. He is not bound by anything outside of his being that would cause him to say, or cause him to act and pursue justice in a way that he doesn't want to. And so you have what God is bound to by his character in his purposes and his will, and what he is free to do in his purposes and his will. Second, we see in Habakkuk that there are times when God decides to reveal his will to us, and yet there are other times that God decides not to reveal what he is doing, not to let us in on the things that he is going to accomplish. And so we might think of it as God's revealed will and his secret will, or his seen and unseen purposes. So again, we know God's general purpose is to bring justice to all wrongs because he's revealed himself to be a just God. And so there is something that you can count on. God has revealed himself to be just, and so he has revealed that his purpose is to carry out justice. However, he has not revealed to us exactly how he will merit out justice in every situation. That's why, as you go through the Bible, God is always just, or he's always righteous, he's always gracious, but you see him dealing with people in different ways. Why? Because he is not bound to merit out justice or grace or righteousness in the same way each time. Well, you also see throughout the Bible, and even in Habakkuk, where God reveals his will. Here is what I'm going to do, and it is in concert with his character. And then there are other times where the persons of the Bible have no idea what God is going to do. And so they're walking along by faith in God for him to carry out his purpose, even though they do not know exactly what that is. Habakkuk is no exception. He was only privy to some of what God was going to do, but not the full picture. God revealed to him certain things, like raising up the Babylonians and spreading his glory. But he didn't reveal to him all the details of how that was going to take place. And so Habakkuk didn't know when it would happen. He didn't know what would be the extent of the destruction when Babylon invaded. He didn't even know where he would be in all of this. We don't see God telling Habakkuk, you're going to survive the invasion, or you're going to be carried off into captivity. There were a lot of unknowns. And so for all that he did know, there was so much more that he did not know. But what you find is that when Habakkuk could not see God's specific purpose, he trusted in God's general purpose. And when he did not know God's secret will, he trusted in God's revealed will. And so we see in verse 16 of chapter 3 that again, he says, I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters into my bones, my legs tremble beneath me, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Okay, Lord, I'll wait on you to do what you have purposed to do. I'm scared because I don't fully know specifically how you're going to accomplish it or what that means for me, but I trust that your purpose for me is good. And so I will wait on you to do what you determine is best for me in this situation. He couldn't see what the end of the circumstances were going to be. He didn't know even what the next day was going to entail. He knew somewhere down the road the Babylonians were going to come, but he didn't know specifically God's will. And so what did he rest in? He rested in God's revealed will, his greater, grander purpose of bringing justice. God said, I will bring justice to the Babylonians. And so Habakkuk said, then that's good enough for me. I will rest in what you have revealed to me, and by faith I will walk through the things that you have not revealed to me. Listen, we find ourselves in a similar circumstance as Habakkuk. Now, no, God is not sending an invading army. At least we don't know that he is, and we hope that he's not, to take over America and to haul us off into captivity. We certainly are not at that level. However, we are living in very challenging circumstances. And they have us wondering, what is God up to? Why are you doing these things? Why are you allowing these things to happen? And our faith in God is certainly being tested. And it's often in times like this that we grow frustrated and confused. We know that God has revealed his purpose, but we don't know his specific will. We expect God to merit out justice in our lives in accordance with his character for the wrong that's done to us. However, we also expect God to administer that justice the way that we want and in the time that we want. And so we ask, if God is just, then why is my enemy thriving? Maybe you find yourself in that position. Maybe someone who was under you or someone who had been at the company less time was able to keep their job, and yet you have been fired from your job. Or maybe that person has been promoted over you. And so you're wondering, listen, I've been following you, God. Why in the world is my enemy thriving? Or why is this person being promoted over me? You know what's going on there? You know that God is just, and you know that God is to work all things for your good. But what you don't see is his specific will and purpose for your life in that moment. And so you don't just want God to be just. You want him to be just the way that you think he should be just and should carry out his righteousness in the way that you think he should. His specific will hasn't been revealed to you. And so you're not trusting in what he has revealed to you, in his general greater purposes based on his character in your life. You may, and we all do, expect God to work for our good because we know that he is gracious. However, we also want to define specifically what his goodness looks like in our life. And so we ask, if God is so good, then why am I in such an uncomfortable situation? And so often it can seem as though God is not doing anything and that there's no purpose for the difficult situation that we walk through. And so here we are. We find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation. Life is not normal. Life is not how we used to know it. And it makes us uncomfortable. And so we look to God and we say, God, why aren't you being good to me? Well, you know that God is to be good. And yet what you are demanding, because you don't know his specific will, is that God pour out his goodness on you the way that you want it to be done. That's not how it works. We just have to trust that God is good and that even in these difficult times, God is still being good to us. Why? Because that's what he has decided to reveal to us. Because if we're not careful, we will give in to the frustration or confusion or the lack of clarity that we have, and fear will enter, or we will become angry and upset at God. So we begin to ask the question, why, God? Why are you allowing this to happen? And when there isn't a very specific answer, and we do not trust what God has already revealed to us, then we just throw our hands up and we say, well, then fine, I'm not going to trust in you anymore because you obviously are not being good to me. You obviously are not carrying out justice just like you said. Well, that's a wrong thinking. We cannot put on God this burden of answering to us. Just because God doesn't reveal his specific way in which he is carrying out his purposes does not mean that he's not carrying out those purposes in your life. I would encourage you to learn what Habakkuk learned, and that is this. When God's specific purposes are kept secret, then trust the general purposes God has revealed to you and rest in them. Let me just say that again. When God's specific purposes are kept secret, when he doesn't reveal the specific will that he has for the things that are taking place in your life, then trust in the general purposes of God, the purposes that he has revealed, his will that he has revealed, the black and white things in God's word, and rest in them. God told Habakkuk that his purpose was to saturate the earth with his glory. God's general purpose of glorifying himself and all the earth has not changed, and it never will change. God's character demands that he do all things from his own glory, lest he give glory to something else and therefore no longer be most glorious. God was purposing to accomplish something that was far bigger than Habakkuk's comfort or Judah's discipline or even Babylon's rise and fall to power. But it did include all of those things. I think this is the fuller meaning of what God says when he says, I'm doing a work in your day that if told you would not believe. Listen, Habakkuk, I'm doing a work and I'm going to reveal some of that to you, but there is a greater work, something that goes beyond you, beyond Judah, that stretches out into history. And I am doing a work that if I revealed all of that to you, you would not be able to believe it. From the beginning, God's purpose has been to saturate the earth with his glory. However, sin marred the image of God in man and therefore his ability to reflect God's glory fully. And because sin affected all of creation is unable to reflect God's glory in its fullest. And sin, though, did not sneak up on God and cause him to pursue another purpose. God didn't have this purpose to saturate the earth with his glory, and when man sinned, he stepped back and said, oh, now what am I going to do? God knew from eternity past that his purpose of displaying his glory would incorporate man's choice to rebel. And so sin did not thwart God's purpose. And if you look at the book of Revelation, we see that God will, at some point in time when he decides, accomplish that purpose fully. We see people from every tribe and tongue and nation in a new heaven and a new earth gathered around the throne. And what are they doing? They are bowing and worshiping. They are giving glory to God. So all of history is God fulfilling his purpose of saturating the earth with his glory as he graciously works to save man from the curse of sin. And the Bible gives us specific instances of how God has been doing this. And Habakkuk is no exception. See, when God, out of his own goodness and grace, chose a nation for himself, he did so with the purpose of displaying his glory to the nations. He told the people of Israel that he would set them apart and that he would bless them so that they would be a blessing to the other nations. His intent was to choose a people, bless them, so that then they would in turn bless other nations, and those other nations would worship God. And all of this is wrapped up in their obedience to his commands. His commands, therefore their obedience to those commands, distinguished them, set them apart from the other nations. As they obeyed God's commands, they would receive the blessing inherent to that command. And the blessings of God on Israel reflected his glory to the other nations. And so, following God sets Israel apart as God's people, brought God's blessing, and therefore demonstrated the glory of God to the other nations so they too would follow God. That was God's purpose. However, Israel disobeyed God. And instead of following him and his commands, they followed the gods of the other nations. And instead of glorifying God, they defamed his name. So instead of God's blessing, they received his discipline. And this is what is happening in Habakkuk's day. Because of their continued disobedience, the northern kingdom of Israel, called Israel, had been overtaken by Assyria. And what God is telling Habakkuk is because now the southern kingdom, Judah, is continuing in its disobedience, they too will be taken over but by Babylon. And as we move forward in history, what we see is that the inhabitants of the southern kingdom, like those of the north, are carried off into captivity. And it looked like God's purpose to save a people for himself and to bless the other nations that he might receive the glory was failing. I mean, if it was God's purpose to take Israel and use them to spread his glory throughout the other nations, then what are you doing now, God? Both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, you're saying you're going to be taken off into captivity by a wicked nation. How in the world are you fulfilling your purpose in all of that? But what we see is that God actually was fulfilling his purpose. When you go to the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel shows us some of what went on when God's people were carried off into captivity by the Babylonians. And what you find is that there were those who were faithful to God despite their circumstances. They trusted God and they followed God and they obeyed his commands. And because of that, God blessed them. He blessed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel for being obedient to his commands. If you read in Daniel, what you find is that their rise to power and position as advisors to foreign kings was a direct result of their uncompromising allegiance to God. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to eat the king's food. Daniel refuses to not pray. All throughout their lives, they're being obedient to God. And because of that, God blesses them. And because of their position that God blessed them with, these foreign nations are blessed. If you go to the book of Esther, the events in Esther, we think, take place some 40 to 50 years after King Cyrus declares that the Jews could go back to their homeland. And so Cyrus says, you no longer have to be in captivity. You can go back to your homeland. And so what you have is that there are some Jews who have decided to remain where they are and not go back home. So they were captured. They were taken into captivity. And instead of now going back to where they were taken from, they're going to stay right there. And it is through a Jewish queen and her uncle that not only are the Jews saved, but that nation is blessed. As well, God blesses the nations because of those Jewish captives that are within their borders. God writes to them or declares to them through the prophets to while they're in captivity to build houses and to start businesses and to prosper in these cities. And despite their rebellion, God keeps his covenant with Israel and he saves a remnant. And they begin to prosper. And as they do, these foreign cities are blessed. And so as God protects his people, prospers his people, and the cities they inhabit prosper, what happens? God's glory is revealed. Here God is taking this nation and he says, okay, I've given you instructions. My purpose for you is to spread my glory to the other nations. They refuse to do that. And so God says, then I'm going to accomplish my purpose in another way. And in the very thing that you thought God would cause God not to accomplish his purpose is the very thing that he used to accomplish his purpose. He used circumstances that in the present moment Habakkuk could not understand in order to fulfill his purpose of spreading his glory to the nations. God accomplished his purpose through both the disobedience and rebellion of Israel, as well as the evil of the pagan nations around them. The destruction of Israel and the coming destruction of Judah were not evidences that God was not in control. They were not evidences that his purposes were being thwarted or that there wasn't a purpose. Actually, they demonstrated the exact opposite. They proved that God was accomplishing the purpose he intended from the very beginning, to saturate the earth with his glory. And for now, you and I are like Habakkuk. We find ourselves living in a time when God has revealed his ultimate purpose, but we must wait on him to bring it to its full completion and its final end as he sees fit. But we don't know the day that the Lord is going to return. We don't know the day that God is going to have all of his followers around the throne worshiping him and his glory literally saturate the heavens and the earth. We don't know when that is, but we do know it's coming. That's our hope. And we know that it's been his, it's promised to us that it's his purpose, that that's what he does. And so we kind of live in this between God's showing us and revealing his will and when God is actually going to carry out that will, the specific timing of his will. And in the midst of the waiting, God has not revealed his specific purpose for everything that is happening in life. And so God has not told us exactly why he has allowed this virus to spread and to come in. God may not be telling you exactly, and you may not know why you have lost your job or why there's sickness in your family or whatever it is that you are going through. So you must trust in God's general revealed will and rest in the fact that he is accomplishing those purposes through all of us. In everything that takes place in your life, God is accomplishing his purpose. God has allowed that to take place because he has a reason, and he may never even show you that reason or declare to you what that reason is. You know, a lot of times we'll say, I can't wait to get to heaven because God's going to tell me why this happened and why that happened. We aren't actually promised that. We aren't promised that we're going to just know everything. I hope that in that God would reveal it because it's just more opportunity for us to glorify God. I think that that's the case, that that's what's going to happen. But what if God never reveals to you specifically why he allowed this or that to take place in your life? Do you trust him enough in what you do know about him, in the purposes that you do know that he is going to accomplish, that you will walk faithfully, being obedient to his commands in these times? But you know what? You have something that Habakkuk did not have, and that is the further revelation of God's purpose through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the believer, the gospel is the foundation of our faith in the God who will fulfill his purpose. The gospel is the one thing that brings the clarity that we need so we can confidently walk through the things we're facing today and will face tomorrow. In Christ, God revealed the ultimate means by which he would saturate the earth with his glory. In Christ, God revealed his ultimate purpose of saving a people for himself. In Christ, God revealed his ultimate blessing of abundant life to those who would follow him. In Christ, God revealed the ultimate proof that even in the midst of the darkest evil, a sovereign God can use any circumstance to accomplish his purpose. In Acts chapter 4, we find Peter and John are being brought before the Jewish council because they are preaching the gospel. They're out declaring that Christ was crucified and that he raised from the grave, and the Jewish leaders don't like it, and so they bring them in and basically put them on trial. However, at the trial, they don't find anything really to accuse them of, and so what they do is they tell them, listen, you stop preaching the gospel, and then they send them on their way. And so Peter and John go to their friends, and they reveal the news of what has taken place, that even though the Jews took them, they released them because they had nothing to really charge them with. And immediately this prayer to God breaks out from everybody. And in the midst of that prayer, they say something very interesting. Now you can click on the link that you were provided for the Acts passage, or you can just listen as I read Acts 4, 27 and 28. And it says this, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do," now watch, "whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place." In other words, here's what they are saying. In the midst of this prayer, they are asking for boldness to continue to preach the gospel despite the persecution. And in the midst of that prayer, what they're saying is, God, we recognize that even the crucifixion of Jesus was under your control, and that you had even Herod and Pontius Pilate with all the Gentiles and all the people of Israel who were there screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." You had anointed them to do, or you had directed them to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. In their prayer for boldness, they appeal to the fact that even the evil of those who crucified Christ was under the providential hand of God, who used those events for the salvation of man and for his own glory. They were pointing to the fact that they could trust God in the midst of the present persecution that they were experiencing, even though they may not understand it, even though they may not understand how they were going to pay for groceries and how they were going to survive, all that was going on. They didn't know the specifics of what God was doing, but they could trust it because the crucifixion of Christ proved that even the evil murder of his son had purpose. God had purpose in even allowing and using wicked men to crucify Christ. And that was the great glory of God and the salvation of man. And so God used it in the fulfillment of his purpose to bring salvation to man and glory to himself. And like these early believers, it is through the death and the resurrection of Christ that we find faith to trust God's purposes, even when we do not understand those purposes or do not see them. So you can trust that even in the midst of what you are experiencing, that God has a purpose and he is bringing that purpose to its fulfillment. I can't tell you specifically why God has allowed you to lose your job, why God has allowed your loved one to get sick, but I can assure you that in Christ, he is using every circumstance to fulfill his good purposes in your life. Without a doubt, God has demonstrated through COVID-19 that he is in control of the nations and at a moment can topple the gods of power and of wealth. Maybe we don't understand all that God is doing, but one thing is for sure. God has demonstrated himself to be in control of the nations. We get so prideful. We get so caught up in money and power. And I think God has stepped in and said, now look, in a moment's notice, I can take care of all these things. People say, is this God's judgment on the earth? I don't know. I don't know what God is up to. He hasn't revealed that to me. We have to be very careful that we're just going to stand up and say this is God's judgment. But we certainly are in an uncomfortable place. And God has certainly gotten our attention. And if nothing else comes out of this, but we are more in tune to God and what he wants for us, then certainly that is a good thing. But I don't know what he's specifically doing in your life. But I do know he's working it for your good. I do know that God has promised that in everything he will use it so that it comes out for your good. Listen, believer, you may not see it in the thick of your circumstances, but God is completing the work that he has begun in you. You may not know the specifics of how he is accomplishing his will, but God is working even in the midst of the things that you are experiencing for your good. It may be a bit uncomfortable to walk through what you're facing, but know that God's grace is active in your situation. Trust the purpose that God has for you as one of his children. He has a purpose and a plan for you, and that plan is for your good and his glory. Rest in the fact that God's will for your life, no matter how difficult it may be in the moment, will bring the greatest blessing to your life. Allow his sovereignty over all your circumstances to bring you peace as you walk through those circumstances. And it is in Christ that you are able to do this. You know, Christ prayed in the garden, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Christ trusted in God's purpose for his life. God didn't take that cup from him. He allowed him to walk through the most agonizing and painful circumstances. But because of Christ's suffering, he was exalted to the Father's right hand. Listen, God's purpose was glorification of the Son. But the glorification of the Son necessitated the sacrifice of the Son. Sometimes God's greatest good for you necessitates that you walk through some of the hardest circumstances. In the midst of those times, when you can't see his specific purpose, when you don't know his specific will, allow the cross to remind you that God's purpose for your life, no matter what you are experiencing, is for your greatest good. Your faith in his purposes will bring clarity to what you do not fully understand, and his peace will then follow. Listen, if you don't know God, then you cannot understand his purpose for your life. You are not interested in his glory. That's the farthest thing from your mind. You're interested in your own glory. You've not experienced the grace of salvation and the life that he wants you to have. But I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And he rose from the grave, defeating sin and death on your behalf. And the Bible says that if you will believe that Jesus died and that he rose from the grave, and you will act on that belief and ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you will give him control of your life, then he will save you. He will take your sins from you, and he will put Christ's righteousness, his perfection, on you, so that you can have a relationship with him, and so that you can discover your true purpose for life, the true meaning of life. The Creator God is the one who made you. And so he is the one that knows what he wants for your life. And the only way that you can discover that is if you surrender fully to him, recognizing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you would, right there where you are, want to pray this prayer or something like this to God. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have rebelled against your purposes in my life. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin, and that he rose from the grave so I could have new life. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I put my life in your hands and I give you full control. Please save me and be Lord of my life. Listen, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, then God has saved you. But there, you are on a new journey. The Bible describes you as a baby. You're an infant. And you need to grow. You need to grow in this new faith. And we want to help you do that. And so if you prayed that prayer, or maybe you prayed it during the week, or maybe in previous services, we would love to hear from you so that we can help you, either give you some material that will help you grow, or connect you with a church if you're out of this area that will help you grow. And so there on the webpage, if you just go to the contact link and click on that, you can send us an email. We would love to hear from you and love to help you as you grow in Christ. Well, remember, God's purposes for you are good. His desire for you is good. He is going to bring great glory and honor to himself through you. So I pray that you will live this week in light of that truth, that the God of heaven has a purpose for everything, and that though you cannot see it, and though sometimes it doesn't seem like it, he will use everything to bring about that purpose in your life. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he desires for you. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close in song. And so will you bow your head with me as we pray? Lord God, I'm thankful today that as we look in the book of Habakkuk, we can see very clearly that though it didn't seem like you had purpose for any of this, that all things were out of control, that you had a specific purpose, and you were working every detail of each of these circumstances to bring about that purpose. And so, Father, as we reflect upon who you are, your character, we can know and trust that you are going to act in accordance with that character. Father, as we think about who you are and your power and your providence over all things, that you are in control of this world and you are in control of every star in the heavens and you are in control of every detail of our life. May we trust that you are using that power to work all things for our good. And then, Father, as we think about the promises that you have given us, out of your character and because of your providence, we can trust that the promises, your word, all of your word can be trusted, and it will come true in our lives. It will not return void. And Father, we can trust that your purposes will come about. Your power guarantees that. Your character, your person shows us what your purposes are. And even your promises reveal those purposes to us. And so as we think on all that Habakkuk has for us, may we live our tomorrow and our tomorrow's tomorrows in full confidence that you are going to do a work in us, and that work is going to be for our good and for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.